And, you know, I mean, it's funny, too, because then you have your different kinds of musicians. I mean, different kinds of artists. You know, there are certain musicians and artists that I know that 99.9% of the people you'll ever meet won't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But musicians of a certain ilk just happen to like them. And, you know, and they end up making a living at giving seminars or, you know what I mean? They're more like musicians or, or songwriters. And so there's a lot of different ways to make a living. It doesn't have to all be the traditional model of, you know, hey, become a big star, fill in an arena. You know, the other thing I see people doing a lot too are house parties.
Yeah, I had chatted with Brian Vander Ark, who's with the Verve Pipe, about that.
Oh, okay.
You know, the lawn chairs, living rooms tours that he's doing. And I know Drew Nelson does that as well.
There you go.
So that seems like a great angle.
I just started getting into it, and they're absolutely amazing because you sell way more CDs per capita, I guess, at a house party than you're going to sell at a bar.
Yeah.
And people are listening.
Yeah, more of an intimate setting.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, I mean, I don't know. I think if I had to sometimes choose between 50 people at a house party or 200 in a bar, not being the bar owner, I will say that I'd take the 50 people at the house party.
Sure.
I think my odds are much better for getting a show across and selling discs.
Now, I've always been a fan of the tones that you're getting out of your guitar and your equipment. What are you looking for in tone?
For it not to suck. No, I don't. Well, you know what's funny? And cause you're a guitar player as well.
I am.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you know this kind of, I'm imagining you probably suffer from this too, where you'll go through a period where you really like a particular sound you're getting, and then all of a sudden, maybe 6 months later, it just doesn't excite you anymore, or you start to hate it for some reason. I don't know if that's human nature or what, you know, that we kind of crave some kind of novelty and something to inspire us a bit more. But with that said, what I find is that I've been doing this long enough that I find myself coming back full circle. You know, there were certain amps and tones that I really latched on to early on when I got into the Bruce Music stuff that I have gotten away from a little bit. And then just recently, I've been getting back into the old vintage Fender amplifier tones.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. Or I'm blending them, you know, like I love to take, I like to do some studios where I'll take both vintage and modern amps, run through a bunch of them at the same time. Mic them and then set them in different places in the mix, and it's best of both worlds, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, the stuff that I listened to, I didn't pay much attention to the tone. And now that I'm older, I'll listen to, you know, old blues stuff or classic rock stuff, and I really have a great appreciation for the tone that folks were able to get.
I mean, a lot of it for me, I practiced electric guitar so much without an amp that, and I could hear it, you know, I could still hear it decently and well enough that I kind of altered what I do with my hands to get certain sounds too.
Sure.
That sometimes, you know, depending on, you know, what kind of amp you're using or what to put between the guitar and the amp, sometimes you can lose some of that stuff, but, or sometimes you can enhance it too, but, well, hopefully you can always enhance it. that's amplifier, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is a lot of it comes from your hands.
Absolutely. And the vibrato.
Yeah, the vibrato, and even just like, you know, how hard you might pick a particular thing, or what angle to pick. How you angle the pick, or for some people, what kind of pick they use.
Sure.
Or, you know, which I guess is more of a pick thing than a hand thing, but.
Right.
But still, you have to adjust the tension in your right picking hand according to what kind of picking style you're doing. And, you know, I obsess over that from time to time. I'll look at the guys who are the incredible technicians like Frank Gambale. And I had one of his guitar workout videos, and a friend of mine came over and saw me watching it and made fun of me. But with that said, I learned a lot from a guy who really paid a lot of attention about exactly how much tension to put in his hands, or better yet, to how not hold tension in your hands when you're playing, but still play with authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still play with attitude, but but don't be so tense that you choke the notes off.
Right. Now, you've been doing a lot of touring outside of Michigan. Have you had a chance to play with any of your heroes?
Yeah, I'm trying. Now you caught me off guard here. I'm trying to think about it. Cause I've had some pretty cool experiences, not always on the same stage with them either, but usually like on the same bill and stuff. I've gotten a chance to see some pretty cool people. I know back when I was with Root Doctor, we did the Detroit Jazz Festival, and Taj Mahal came on after us. And that, you know, I've always been a fan of his. And another time opened up for Macy Gray, and I, you know, I just, she wasn't necessarily a hero, but to see somebody at that level perform and how they conduct business, it was enlightening and fun. And her road manager really took a liking to me.
Oh, great.
Kept spotting all my Hendrix references. I guess I was getting a little too wanky during my set, but he was a nice guy. You know, I'll think about it. Can I come back to that one? I know I'm missing something.
Sure.
But I mean, I'll get into town, and I have temporary, you know, people who I really like Chad Robinson, who will come out and sit with the band and sing and that sort of thing. But I'm drawing a blank right now.
Well, you were talking about Albert King earlier. I imagine you've probably connected with Don Kinsey before, who lives here in Grand Rapids, who used to play guitar with him.
In fact, I was fortunate enough to see Albert King twice. Now, this was after Donald would have been. I think Donald was with Albert maybe more in the 70s.
Yeah.
And, way before my time there. But I did get to see Albert King twice in the, I think it was the 90s.
Oh, okay.
And absolutely amazing. And I got to tell you, he was such a big man.
Yeah.
That I was afraid to go up and say hi.
Oh,
so
really?
Yes. Yeah, so I kind of regret that one. But
He really had a big presence to him.
And I spoke with Stevie Ray Vaughan on the phone once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's a dumb story. I don't know if you want to hear that one or not.
Sure, I'd love to.
I'll give you the short version.
Sure.
My wife was finishing up pharmacy school at Michigan, and our coworker had called and said, "Hey, I think somebody famous just came in here to pick up a prescription." Long story short, you know, she described him, but she didn't know who it was. And she, as she was describing him, you know, we knew it was Stevie Ray, and plus he was playing at Hill Auditorium that night.
Okay.
And evidently, now hopefully this isn't too much of a breach of ethics, I guess, all things considered, but he was picking up some cortisone.
Okay.
Evidently, he's probably either having problems with his vocal cords or maybe his hands.
Sure, sure.
So he's picking up some kind of cortisone. And there was a phone number attached to the order, and I got the number.
Oh, okay.
And I called.
What the heck, right?
I called, and you had one of the earlier mobile phones, you know?
Sure.
And he answered. And I said, you know, is this Stevie Ray? And he said, yes, who is this? And then I hung up. So years later, I met somebody who grew up with him.
Okay.
He was at one of my gigs. And he said, man, at that point in his life, you know, this was during the In-Step tour.
Right.
He would have chatted you up once he found out you were, you know, safe. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
He'd have had you over the hotel, and you guys would have sat around and played guitar. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I wish I could tell that story.
Well, that's still a great story, though. You know, at least, at least you dialed them up, right?
Yeah, that's a courage. But then I just went like, okay, I was just wondering. Bye. So, you know. Oh, my gosh. Such a rube I can be.
This is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined by blues guitarist Greg Nagy. If you want to check out his music, you can visit Greg Nagy, GREGNAGY.com. Thanks so much for joining me, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely.